Attention musicians, I know if you're like me, being stuck in this quarantine, been sitting around playing every song you know. Are you looking to learn more songs? Well, I have the app for you. Whether you're a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app for you. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs for over a million songs on guitar, bass, and ukulele. You also get a bunch of tools, man, amazing tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. Go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app from your app store today. That's Ultimate Guitar. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. How are you? Things are getting bleak and freaky. How am I doing? Well, I teeter between terrified and bored. This is more than just two-sided teetering. If there's a five-sided teetering, I'm going to explain to you the emotions I go through throughout the course of a day. Terrified, bored. Excited because I found something to do that takes my mind off of being terrified and bored. Then kind of lonely. Then just generally weird. So I've been following the rules. I've been staying in. The only interaction I've had has been with clerks at different places. Probably you're doing the same thing. Hopefully you're doing the same thing. I hope you're doing okay. You know, it's starting to affect a lot of people. I want to quickly touch on a couple of things. We lost a great musician here in Austin, not to the coronavirus, but I think he had been battling illness for a while, but his name was John Lockhart. And I never knew him very well. I did talk to him a couple times about coming on the show, once on email and once at a place where I ran into him a few years ago. And I was like, man, you got to do the show. And he's like, yeah, I know. I never knew him very well. I was around him a little, very little bit. We had different scenes, I guess. But I have a lot of friends that were very close to him and knew him for a very long time. He was a native Austinite guy. He had a band called Black Pearl. He was in Suede, that band that plays a lot. Skyrocket does a lot of parallel kind of shows to them. And I've had Robert Wagner from that band on the show. And, of course, my friend AJ Vallejo did a lot of stuff with him. And he helped out his band Vallejo a lot. So, yeah, my condolences to his family, to all of his friends, to Robert and his other bandmates, because I know that once you're in a band for a while, it's like a family, and they lost, like, their main guy. They lost the guy that kind of, like, ran the show. And even though he wasn't the singer, he was kind of the backbone of the band. Anyway, sad. My condolences to him and his family. Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne passed away from complications of coronavirus. That's a sad thing. Guy was a great talent, great producer, great songwriter, great bass player. Anyway, that's sad news. That we're going to be hearing a lot of that kind of stuff coming up. And that's a tough thing to take. That's where the terrified part comes in. You know, there's part of you just wants to get in a corner and freak out. You know, hopefully you're confined with someone that you can spend some time with. That would be nice. I think I should make something in my house into a Wilson ball, you know, like from Castaway. What do I have in here that I could turn into one? What? Wait, am I crazy? Hey, Google, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. What can I help you with?
Well, I'm kind of lonely, terrified, and bored.
I'm happy to be your friend.
Problem solved. All right, we're here. Thank you, Google. That was nice of you. Hey guys, speaking of being lonely, I'm going to be going live on Mondays and on Thursdays at 12 noon Central Standard Time on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. So if you want to ask me any questions or find out anything about the show or ask about interviews, whatever, man, I'm an open book, man. I'll go on there for as long as you guys want to talk. So suggest people for the show. I went on live the other day, and Dan Jason suggested I get Pat Byrne on, and it looks like that is going down. So look, man, you want to hear someone on the show, let me know. And don't come on there being like, hey, put me on the show. Like, don't, because that's going to be weird. It'll turn into a weird thing, and I'll stop going live. But I do want to reach out. I do want to talk to people that listen to this show. I want to talk to you about how you're doing, what you're doing through this time, and just kind of hear from you. You know, maybe you can suggest to people some way to pass the time that you've been enjoying, right? So yeah, check that out. I did go live on Instagram Live on Tuesday night with my friend Joseph. We did a song swap on there. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people donated. Thank you to the people that went there. Thank you to the people that donated. That was really generous of you and very sweet. It's nice to know that you can still kind of eke out some kind of cash-making service for people. Speaking of which, I've included in the podcast text a link to my Venmo and PayPal. So if you'd listen to this show, you get something out of it. It's always available free. It's always been free the last 8.5 years. I put a lot of work into it. And if you feel like kicking me some dough, because I've lost I've definitely lost advertising throughout this time. So I'm just doing it. So if you feel like kicking something in, that would be mighty nice. I know this is a hard time and not everybody has the dough. And I totally understand, baby. All right. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be doing some music stuff too online. I'll let you know. I need to find a way that does stuff that sounds better. Maybe a Facebook Live thing. I don't know. But I will be going live every Monday and every Thursday, 12 noon, on How Did I Get Here Facebook page. All right? Gang, I have a great show for you today. My friend, a person I really, really love hanging out with, I love playing music with, and I just think he is an amazing, amazing talent. Great songwriter, great guitar player, great singer. Andy McIntyre is on the show today. He just dropped a brand new single called Dirty Conversation. And tomorrow, Saturday, April 4th, he will be dropping a video that he made himself for that song. So go to McIntyreRocks.com, get involved with him there. He's a great, great talent. He recorded this song at 601 Studios here in Austin with Mike and Eric over there. Great, 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 great team. I love those guys. Good guys. And he also recorded the tune at Abbey Road. He went all over the world recording this song. Yeah, Abbey Road, the legendary Abbey Road place. Like where the Beatles recorded, and God knows who else. Now Andy McIntyre is recorded there. Then the record was mixed by the great Tim Palmer. So he's got a great team of people making this amazing song. He did a great job with it. The video, what I've seen of it, is pretty fucking awesome, and I'm looking forward to seeing it tomorrow. But Andy is an amazing guy. I got to do a show with him back in January. We backed up an artist named Jay Milano. We were both playing guitar. So we stood next to each other, and we had a good time, but it was great. Great playing with him on the stage, great rehearsing with him. He is a consummate professional. He is an inspired artist, and he is a great fucking hang. So, without further ado, please enjoy my conversation via Facebook Messenger video chat. Yes, that's right. We did this one on Facebook Messenger video chat. Me and Andy McIntyre talking it up. Let's get down. Studio.
Yeah.
I watched you cutting that tune for a little while last night. What were you doing? You were cutting a guitar solo?
Yeah, and funnily enough, I was really struggling with it too, which just because I think it was such a different kind of solo for me, and I was trying to go for something that was really different feeling, and I finally got it, actually, once I switched out Facebook Live.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it was a little bit like, this is, I feel naked. This
are you working on a new tune?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's what you're doing?
Yeah, like something super, super new. I have three other songs kind of sitting in the hopper right now, just waiting to go.
Yeah.
So, and I have that music video, too, that I'm going to be putting out on 4/4.
Yeah, what did you, that'll be the day after this comes out. What did you, How did you do it? Did you do it yourself during this quarantine time?
Oh yeah. Had to.
Yeah. You filmed yourself?
Yeah, just I basically took my super fancy little iPhone Pro.
Yeah.
And I put it in the little clip that has the fulcrum arm in it.
Okay.
And I then attached that onto a mic stand and actually plugged the mic in, you know, but the mic's not plugged into anything. And then just played the music off the laptop and then used that as a guide and then got the best picture I could get and then completely distorted the image in post.
Mm.
So to kind of give it that like super real sort of, you know, this is kind of a feeling of claustrophobia, you know, because everyone's in a lock-in right now, a shut-in. Yeah.
How are you doing with the shut-in?
I think pretty good. I think being a musician, being a, you know, a guy that produces songs in his home studio, I was sort of used to that, and
I just come out of
Cedar Fever, and I just felt like, okay, so 2.5 more months of Cedar Fever. All right, fine.
Yeah.
But it's kind of how I dealt with it.
And your wife Lisa is a NICU nurse, right?
She was for a very long time.
Oh, she was.
And then as an RN, she actually left that job. She left the hospital and started to work at an outpatient surgery center that's independently owned by doctors and people like that.
Okay. So is she working now?
She was working right up until about 4 days ago. And when... Because
this would all be like elective surgery, right?
Yeah. So, and she's, I think she's not due back until like April, well, now I guess April 30th, right?
So. Right. Yeah. Yeah, this has been a crazy thing that none of us have ever experienced. Have you been holding up all right mentally? I mean, you've obviously been keeping your hands busy, and guys like us, when we have nothing to do, if we find shit to do, then we're okay. But if we don't do anything, we go crazy.
Totally. And about a couple days ago, I found myself really starting to go stir crazy. And I just felt like, what the F am I supposed to do here?
Yeah.
And I literally started pacing back and forth. I'm like, that's not good. And I thought, wait a minute. It was like Marty in Back to the Future. It's like, wait a minute. I have a time machine.
Yeah.
I can go into anything. I was like, wait a minute. I have a studio. I can go do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about this tune, man. The song Dirty Conversation is great. It's been out since February. That's the one you're making the video for.
Yeah.
It's a great song. And it has like this almost sort of like Soaring U2 vibe to it. I think it's that drum beat gives it that sort of like...
Yeah.
Gives it that vibe. Now, that song, you recorded it all over the world. I mean, well, here... And in Abbey Road, but that's right.
Right.
And you started it here with Eric Harrison and Mike over at 601. And so is that Mike on the drums?
Yeah, it's funny. It's actually the drum tom riff he's playing is based off of a drum loop I actually made at my place.
Right.
And gave him that, and he was like, "Cool. Well, how about we." We just cut basics here, just drum and bass, and then you can literally scrap everything. Take that basic session over to Abbey Road, and I went in there with like a super clear mind as to like what am I gonna do, what am I not gonna do? Okay, here's what I'm not gonna do. I'm not gonna cut any vocals here because it just doesn't make sense, you know? Because vocals are so time sensitive, you know.
You weren't gonna cut vocals in Abbey Road.
No.
Okay.
No.
So what'd you cut there? The piano?
The piano and like 98% of the guitars, and I got one more guitar track here at my place, and I think you can kind of hear it in the final mix, or at least I can, just because I just know what to listen for.
Did you do the vocals there at your place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. Eric and Mike did the bass and drums. Then you took it to what was that? Who was the engineer in? Ultimately, then you produced this, right? Maybe there was some pre-production shit with the song with Mike and Eric. I just did a song with them, and they really do they put their hands in the song, which is great. I love that.
Yeah. The biggest production change I would say that those two made was actually the part where the song goes to the it goes to E, you know, because typically it's this is most of the song,
right,
and then the part where it goes, sorry, it's an acoustic, you can't bend. Eric just came up with like this change. Hey, let's modulate keys. And Eric's like, I'm gonna go to E. I'm just gonna riff on E. And I was like, okay, well I have to do something with that. And so I came up with that counterline.
Dude, that's cool, man. I love that approach of work. That if you're cool enough as a songwriter to know that all these guys want to do is make the song better. They don't seem to be either too precious with their ideas they're not shy about presenting the changes they want to make, and they do it in a cool way that doesn't feel like, hey, that's my song. You know that feeling that you get sometimes when you very first work with someone who's like, hey, let's change this chord here, and you're like, hey, man, that's my song, buddy. But they do it in a way that really opened up my song. And I went in there, if you go in there with an open mind and that stuff. So my question to you is, you guys get this part of this song done, then you go to London and you go to Abbey Road, which is so cool to say, isn't it? You say it because I just said it and it felt real cool for me to say, but you say, then I went to London and say.
And then I went to London to Abbey Road.
Yeah, see, it feels good, right?
it does, but... Is it cool if I say a few things about that studio?
Please.
All right, cool. Just for anyone that's going to watch this, there seems to be, and I don't know, I'm somewhat compelled to sort of kind of address this. I actually got a little bit of flack and a little bit of pushback for going there. And
from who?
Other musicians. I'm not going to name names because it just doesn't. I don't feel right doing that. But it was kind of funny to me because I even had a few people sort of not almost kind of borderline talk smack about it to my face, and I just thought, like, you know, look, at the end of the day, it's a studio, and it is expensive. But it's not what it was 25 years ago expensive, because they know they can't charge those kinds of prices.
Right.
And when you go in there, the two engineers that you're assigned are incredibly nice, are incredibly pro. The studio is very, like, it's very together. No one's messing around at all. And if you have your stuff together, and you know exactly what you should be playing and what you should not be playing, it's a completely positive thing. So anyone is like, oh, it's Abbey Road. It's like, at the end of the day, it's still a studio.
I don't.
And the same principles apply to any studio.
I don't know who these people are that said that, but I venture to bet they're just stupid, because who wouldn't want to go into a place with that kind of ghosts? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, shit, I've recorded in some places that are like legendary places where you walk in and you're like, you know, that's where David Lee Roth stood and sung fucking Running with the Devil, like right there.
Oh, really? You've been at
Sunset. Yeah. But like, you know, you go into those places and you work and you're like, you know, when you go in there, you feel the gravity of the, it makes you rise to an occasion. You're like, oh, fuck, if I'm going to cut this piano part where in the same studio where Paul McCartney cut fucking Martha, My Dear, I am not going to suck.
Right.
You know?
Right. That was probably my favorite aspect of Abbey Road, was the sound, the openness, and the naturalness of the live room just sounded incredible. Whereas the control room is like classic British studio. It's like super wide, but the ceiling is really short. So the image you get splashing off the desk is like right in your face. It's almost kind of uncomfortable, but the live room is amazing.
That's cool.
It's really awesome.
Is there anyone like point stuff out? Because like when you go to Sunset and you know they're like they get some dudes from Texas. They're like, oh hey man, you want to see the mic that Mick used on came here and cut some tunes in the early 70s? You're like, yeah, I do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you want to use the basketball that the guy from Smashing Pumpkins was playing with last week? That kind of, I mean, just stuff like that. They, you know, did you get some of that? Did you get to see anything cool?
Yes and no. When you walk into Abbey Road, the front desk people immediately make you sign in basically like an affidavit that says, I will only go into the hallway, only into the front, to the bathrooms, and to the like world-class cafeteria they have in the back, and only my studio and my studio only. I will not venture into any of the other rooms. You're not allowed to go anywhere. You can go into your room or the hallway or the bathroom, and that's it.
That's kind of weird.
Well, I get it, because then, of course, you know, I sign it, and then they sort of soften a little bit, and the lady goes, well, you know, it's because Macca likes to just pop in now and then.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who's Macca? And they go, Paul McCartney. Yeah. You just pop in. I'm like, oh, shit. All right. I mean, shoot.
No, you can cuss on this show. It's total freedom. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So the coolest thing I felt was the 1959 EMI stamped U67 Neumann mic that we used on the guitars and the piano, and they had it like six of those, which is unbelievable. And they were all beaten up. They looked like it looked like Wolverine tried to break this thing. I mean, it sounded incredible.
That's amazing. How long were you there? 1 day? 2 days?
We did everything in 10 hours.
Shit.
I was crispy at the bear. My ears were just fried, but it was, God, it was worth it.
Yeah, dude, that's really cool. Did you, what's on the walls in the hallway there? Gold records, like normal studios? Pictures of dudes recording there?
They have that in the kind of pre-hallway when you walk into the front and you walk into the desk. The front desk, rather, and they have a lot of that. But the main hallway looks like a fancy newsroom hallway at NBC headquarters. I mean, it's fancy. I mean, it's very, very high tech looking.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, you can tell they partially gutted this joint probably about 20 years ago, and just like
modernized it.
A lot of it's very modern.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, it is.
Andy, you know what I like about you is that you are like, now I've played with you. You and I were in the backing band for Jay Milano.
Yeah.
Back when people used to go places.
Yeah, back in the old days.
Back in the old days. We used to all go to places and congregate together. And right. you and I got to play. And, I can say as a dude that was the guy that threw your name in the hat for the lead guitar position, you came in so prepared. You're a fun guy to be around when you're making music. You are lighthearted and you lift the room. You don't have any issues that you bring to the situation. Just like a pretty relaxed. Yeah. No, it was a great experience, and it was a lot of fun playing with you in the rehearsal and then on stage and whatever, man. I love working with you.
Yeah.
But one thing I didn't realize, and I don't know if we've talked about this in our previous conversations, is did I know you're left-handed?
Yes.
I did?
I am left-handed.
Okay.
Well,
But you play right-handed guitar, like Einar.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Einar
yeah.
plays left-handed drums, though.
Right. I noticed that.
So, having said that, you play like a normal looking guitar, like a normal dude, not like a, not to say that Doyle Bramall is abnormal, But he flips his over, right? And he plays his shit upside down, right?
The high like upside down, upside down, like yeah. like King, yeah. Otis Rush.
What is yeah. that? What is that like? Did you ever like when you first picked up guitar? Did you just do it like the way that you do, or did you try flipping it over?
I tried very much trying to flip it over because in my infancy, then, if you will, I was like, oh, "This is where all the power comes from," you know, the strumming hand,
right?
And, which is true. I mean, that's where 70% of the power comes from. But and then it was my I think it was my dad because no, you have to flip it back over righty, and I was like, oh. Okay, and then, of course, I would try to flip it back over, and I was able to really bash on it, but I wasn't to articulate anything over here because it felt like a wooden hand.
Right.
And then when I flipped it back over righty, it was like, oh, this is just my personal theory. I'm right. sure other players have different theories. I noticed that the hand that I write with, which is my left hand, gave me the hand-eye coordination of the fretting hand.
Yeah.
This hand took a little bit longer to catch up, but I don't know. This just it just kind of became a 50-50 split at one point.
You started off playing piano and trumpet, right?
Yes.
And you were mm-hmm. a kid. And then 12, you picked up your dad's acoustic guitar. You started playing. Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Hold on.
Yeah.
Really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Dirty Conversation for 1 second before we delve yeah, sure. into this whole like left-handed guy thing. So one thing I forgot to say, there's a tambourine that comes in at the end. That's genius. Fucking best part of the song.
A whole separate story there, but anyway, what's up?
Whose idea was that?
that was Tim Palmer.
Fucking genius. So he mixed the tune? Tim mixed the tune?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You never said that.
Oh, sorry.
He's a genius. He's a genius.
Yeah, his ear is it's just ridiculous. It's like
that's off. If you guys don't know who Tim Palmer is, go Wikipedia yeah. that guy. He's a mixing yeah. engineer producer, and his discography will blow your mind. And he did the Mellow Man record with you.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. he mixed this single Dirty Conversation. So he added that tambourine. What a genius move, dude. That's a producer.
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, I first noticed it and I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't think much of it because it was so, you know, the image that Tim sculpts just sucks you right into the song, you know, which is what a good mixer should do. And well, a great mixer ought to do. And it just kind of became a sort of the wash of the whole song, you know, all that stuff. And then Tim called me up and goes, "So what did you think about the tambourine? I'm not sold on it yet." I was like, "Oh, it didn't bother me." Tim's like, "Are you sure I can change it? I can do this. I can do that." I was like, "Well, here I'll go ahead and listen to it again." And we kind of went back and forth and back and forth. It's like, "Yeah, fuck it, leave it in." You know, like it's at the tail end of the song. It's like, cool. Right
it
on.
Adds to it in the area where you're like, there's nothing more they can put in this song to make me go, ooh, except that all right. of a sudden this tambourine comes in and it's like, I know that sounds so funny, but I'm a freak for that shit. I'm
really?
Auxiliary oh, right. percussion on tunes to me is what makes or breaks. Like you go listen to there's obviously like almost every Bird song, but definitely like Revolver and Rubber Soul, the shakers mm-hmm. and tambourines on those tunes dictate what's happening in the song. They're going the whole time. They're like half time in the verses, double time in the chorus. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
like they
right.
do the thing. Well, that's great, yeah. man. That's exciting. Well, hey, anytime you and Tim ever have a question about auxiliary percussion, you need a third oh. ear.
Oh, all right.
I'm your guy, because I'll tell you what, man, that shit lifts me. There's a hi-hat overdub on Dear Prudence by the Beatles on the White Album that has before. I was pretty fucked up when I was listening to it, but I'm not going to lie. I started just sobbing when it came in, like sobbing, like who is the guy that was like, let's put this in here. And it's just the best fucking overdub. All right, so back to left-handed stuff.
Sure.
So when you decided to play guitar, you picked up the acoustic guitar, and then, but what made you stick with the guitar? Your ability to express yourself on it?
I think so. Yeah, just it kind of, in 6 months, I could play more or less kind of entire songs, and that was, maybe it's more like 12 months, but still, it just, certain things came to me quicker. I think people say puberty has something to do with it, like between the ages of 11 and 14, that picking up the old six stringer really makes kind of a difference, because there's some kind of weird parallel there that the brain likes.
Yeah.
And it's such a non-linear instrument too. Like, there's three ways to go up and there's three ways to go down, and it's your choice however you want to make the geometrical musical shape happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's my poor man's mathematical reading of the instrument.
And that at that time you were digging MTV was happening.
Mm-hmm.
What was the stuff on MTV that was grabbing you? Because there is some there are some tones that you go for that are definitely like classic kind of alternative rock guitar tones. Sometimes, not always, but you do. Like, there's even in Dirty Conversation, like halfway through, this guitar comes in like fucking searing over that acoustic.
Yeah. Are you talking about the main one or the kind of ancillary part?
It might be the ancillary part that I'm talking about.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
That was something. I think Lisa took a little video of it. It was toward the end of the overdub session over at Abbey Road, and I was like, I need to come up with something that just adds to this wash right here. Something that's driving, but it's simple. And I was standing there pretty much doing this, like face palm, and then I went, let me just try this. And I did it in one take.
Yeah.
There.
That's fucking great.
That's humble bragging for me.
But what were you listening to, like, at that, when you were 12 and...
Right. Oh, okay. Sorry. let's see, what was I listening to? I was listening to, I'd gotten into Nirvana, a little bit of Bruce Springsteen, the Pearl Jam record,
Pearl Jam 10.
Yeah, but actually Tim Mix was huge then. And
we just pause for a second and talk about this? What about the feeling of a record that got you into doing what you do, and then years later the dude that mixed one of those fucking records is adding tambourine to your tune?
I know. That's
asking you if it's cool. Like, the guy that mixed Pearl Jam 10 called you and said, like, hey, man, is that tambourine all right that I did at the end? Genius. That's such an amazing feeling, right?
It is.
What do you do? Does that, sometimes do you get off the phone and just go like, wow, look at that Pearl Jam record and go like, I never thought I'd be the dude on the receiving end of that phone call?
No, I didn't. And it's funny, you know, earlier you mentioned Tim's discography, and there's times where I'm like, oh yeah, Tim mixed that too, or Tim worked on that, you know, and it's just stuff that you have to stop and kind of go, wow, I'm pretty lucky to have access to a guy like that.
Yeah. And also like a guy that like is such a great mixer that you don't know Tim Palmer mixed a record. I don't listen to your thing. And the thing he won the Grammy for with Jeff Goldblum, like the jazz album, and go like, oh, that's the same guy.
Right.
It's not at all. Right. He adapts to the music and services the song and the artist in a way that a person in that position probably really should.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's definitely a sign of a true virtuoso, if you will.
Yeah. So you were in Chicago at this time?
Yeah, yeah. So like the Smashing Pumpkins were huge then.
Obviously,
in like 94, 95. But I was listening to a bunch of Rolling Stones too, like the really early stuff, like 66 to like 72.
Okay.
And I was very influenced by that. I was influenced by a lot of Neil Young, funnily enough. Yep. And I was influenced by a lot of just kind of the folkier, twangier stuff too, which I think kind of inspired a lot of the way I play acoustic. Just more of the kind of finger picking in the arpeggiated way of playing rhythm.
Right.
I think.
You use your fingers for that, or you use a flat pick?
Both. I use okay. Travis.
You do the flat pick to do the bass notes and the fingers to do the finger. Do you have to grow your nails weird?
No. Okay. Not really, but it's just more about calluses here.
Yeah.
On the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, as a guitar guy, you have a lot of going through your stuff and listening to it. I was like, you know, this guy, you write great songs, and you have a great voice, and you're also this badass guitar player. Do you feel like when you go work with people, sometimes they want you to focus on guitar, or are they like, hey, man? I remember, like, I went on this writing trip once in 1997 to Los Angeles to write with professional songwriters. Now, I was a guy from Texas, and I had a guitar. And so every time they're like, hey, man, we're not doing some blues thing. But, I mean, you've heard my stuff. I'm not blue. I'm like, what are you talking about? No. This isn't going to be like some Guitar Hero shit. And I'm like, I can't even do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It took them all a little while. Like, they had this preconceived notion of, oh, you're from Austin? And you're going to play, you brought your guitar? This is not a Stevie Ray Vaughan concert.
I've totally gotten that in the past. I've gotten home like, you brought out a Strat. I'm like, well, yeah, it has a humbucker in the bridge. And I'm like, dude, okay, on this next track, we're really not going to be doing any Stevie Ray Vaughan. I'm like, what makes you think I'm doing Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Yeah.
And honestly, there's even been moments where it gets kind of weird, like kind of intense, and you think, what's up with the animosity? Like, I'm just a dude. I didn't walk in with like a huge hat and my jeans tucked into my boots.
Right.
Like, where did you get that impression?
I heard someone refer to that as the hat and poncho movement.
Yeah.
It was a guy from L.A., but I heard him say, you know, then Stevie came along, and then the whole hat and poncho movement came along. So I guess there was a lot of hat and poncho guitar guys. Your guitar playing drifts into all of the, like, even the, you know, watching you cut that thing last night, which I thought was cool before we had this conversation, is to sort of get into the guitar player conversation about you.
Sure.
There was rock stuff happening, and there was definitely, like, you were branching out into almost this exploratory, you know, kind of in the ways that Eric Johnson goes, like, informed by fusion as well.
Yeah, there was definitely kind of a fusion-y feel to it. I was trying to also be mindful of you utilizing a different vibrato, so it would be more stinging, and because I actually took out the whammy bar out of all my Strats. I just stopped using that. And I was using a whammy pedal.
Right.
It has a really bad latency on it. So you have to sort of pre-anticipate when you're going to strike the note, when the transient of the note is going to hit the pedal, and how bad is the pedal going to react to that transient.
Yeah, that's confusing, man. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was really weird. So I had to keep that in mind, and it wound up kind of coming across like a funny mixture of a little bit of Eric Johnson, a little bit of Jeff Beck, and it almost sounded backward.
Yeah. Are you a Jeff Beck guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a guy I've never really explored.
Yeah, his stuff is very different. He's brilliant at esoteric takes on like world class, world famous songs. Like his version of A Day in the Life is like, where did you pull that out? It's
And is it instrumental?
Yeah, it's totally instrumental.
That's when I see him on these things on TV, you know, like he's on like a PBS thing, like on a stage. He's got that real cool girl that plays guitar. What's her name? Or plays bass?
He's had a couple. One of them is now Tal Wilkenfield.
Yes, Wilkenfield, yeah.
He's the previous bassist. His new bassist, I think her name is Rhonda Smith, and okay. I think she came from a Prince's band.
Okay.
And Prince, you know, unfortunately left us.
So. Yeah. You don't got to bring us all down.
Sorry. He's still here, man. He's still here.
Yeah. Did you know that guy, John Lockhart, that passed away yesterday? He was in that band Suede, and he was in a band. I knew him for years. I've only met him like a handful of times. He's always real nice.
Yeah.
It's a sad loss.
Yeah, very.
So when you moved here when you were 18... Mm-hmm. What was the, why did you move here? Because of school?
I moved here because my dad was actually working up in Round Rock in the IT business. And in 98, 99, .com and the IT business was just exploding. So basically having to commute from Chicago down to Austin, he was just getting sick of that, and he went, hey, what do y'all think about moving down? He didn't say y'all, but he would now. Yeah. But what do y'all think about moving down to Austin? I was like, I don't know about that. It's gonna be, you know, poncho and cowboy hats. And of course, you know, of course I came down here and I just walk up and down 6th Street. I'm sure I probably was looking in at Gaudi at one point. I was like, what's this? And everybody was out. Everyone's out. Everyone's playing out live. It was a Wednesday night. It was packed. There was Bob Popular back then. It was just, it was insane. And I went, oh,
I never
I'm
went
sold.
To Bob Popular. What was that? I remember the logo turned me off. Like the guy in the shades. Yeah, and the name of it. I was like, that's not a place, yeah, like, I think I want to go.
Like Max Headroom. It was weird. It was weird Max Headroom. It was kind of a dumb bar. It was a triple stacked bar, and there was one stage at the bottom, and I don't think there was a stage at the second level, but there was a stage at the third level, and you're right, it did not have a very warm and inviting feel.
No,
but it was, you know, Bob Popular. It just sounded like, okay,
it's all happening at Bob Popular.
All happening at Bob Popular. All hat, no cattle. Come on down and get listed for $5.
Do you remember the first people you saw here playing?
Yeah. One of the first big shows I went to was the Scabs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I did the stupid thing as a young teenager then. I pushed myself all the way up to the front of the stage and just got blasted by Bob's lead guitarist all night long. Which I think is why I probably have a crunchier right ear now. But it was a loud show, but it was awesome. It was a great show.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ladies in the room. Too.
Where was it? At Antone's?
Yeah, it was at the Fifth Street Antone's when it was just further up west.
Yeah. That's the one I played the most. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the one that. That was the one I was a part of the most. I mean, I went to that Guadalupe one and I played there a couple times, but not like I did at that other one.
Yeah, I didn't make a downtime to see the one off of Guadalupe.
So what kind of band did you put together, and like where did you start playing?
Here. It was just a band of teenagers out in Buda and Kyle, actually.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was like, and it was, you know, it was a bunch of 16, 17, I think there was one 18-year-old, I think, was the keyboardist. Have you heard of the saxophone player Fabian Hernandez?
No.
Okay, well, he's won a shit ton of Grammys, and he's worked with a lot of very, very famous Latin artists. But he was the saxophone player in that band then.
What kind of music were you playing that you had a saxophone player?
It was like long, drawn-out, psychedelic jam band stuff over Southern rock. Just real directionalist, just kind of getting your chops together. And, you know, the people would come and go, oh, look at the cute teenagers. Ah, and you're playing Sweetheart. Alabama, but it's like a 15-minute rendition. Everybody gets to take a solo past.
That's insane.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. When did you start playing out in Austin?
I think my first gig was with a guy by the name of Kevin Hahn, and that was 03?
Yeah.
No, hang on. I'm sorry, that's actually not true. The first Austin gig was actually on 6th Street in 2002 at a place called the Acoustic Cafe.
Oh, I remember that place. I played there once.
Yeah, and it was a great, great little. Well, it wasn't very small, but it was big. It was where Spill used to be, and now I think it's called something else. The Midnight Cowboy. No, it's that crazy donut place.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, it was Acoustic Cafe, and I played there for about 2 years. And then one day I walked up because I had a gig on Thursday, and it was the doors were shuttered and they're barred and they're locked.
That's how you found out you didn't have a gig that night.
Oh, I guess you don't have a gig. Oh, okay.
And then you put a band together.
I hadn't yet put a band together. I say between late 03 to about 2008-ish, I was playing with a lot of different artists, just other people's bands and just kind of getting my own shit together.
Right, right. What bands were you in? Any bands I would have seen?
You probably did see us at one point, but you didn't know the name. The name of the band was called Dorkstar.
Ooh, that's a good name. Is that a play on the Dead? Did you go through a Dead thing?
Mm-mm, no. Okay.
All right.
Thank God.
So I think there's a Dead cover band called Dark Star.
Maybe.
It's one of their songs. I'm not a dead guy.
Dork.
Yeah, Star. Dork Star. I know. That's why I was like, is it a play on that?
Oh, no. The lead singer of that band came up with that, and I just sort of came into the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then... I would just play with other artists, help out other people, just one-off shows or do like a string of dates, and they're like, okay, we don't need you anymore, bye.
You don't do a lot of mercenary guitar work now, do you?
I do on and off. I kind of fly under the radar, and if someone calls me in and say, hey, I need some lead guitar on this track, okay, cool. And I'll either go to their studio or I'll just do it here because I have a little ISO closet over there, or I'll set up out there and just track it and send it to them. Go, what do you think? Yay, nay? And they go, yeah, this is great. And then, okay, cool. So, it's a pretty good way to make money too.
Yeah. But you don't like if some dude, singer, songwriter or something is like, oh, I got to do this tour. You want to come out for 3 months?
I've not been offered that.
Okay.
So I think, and I feel a little like, I mean, I've done that in the past, but I found that sometimes I'm trying to think of a really good way to word this. I don't have any issue taking any kind of direction. I don't have any issue working with people. I really love working with people. I like the collaborative process. I find that certain personalities, there's this, again, this is not true for everybody. This is just specific personalities that after a while I find myself being kind of feeling sort of overly compressed by them, and I just have to kind of go.
So you're your own artist.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of a thing like, look, I'm with your band right now, but I'm not in your
band. Right.
And
yeah.
And sometimes certain front people don't get that.
Right, yeah, I've had that.
Yeah.
Because I've done the side thing a lot. Like, I remember when I was in this band, Endosheen. They were around back when your thing.
Yeah.
You remember that band? I remember, and I mean, I'm sure all those guys, I'm still friends with those dudes, but there's a couple guys in that band that gave me the, like, what are you going to do now that you're, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, bands get like an inflated ego sometimes.
Yeah.
What are you going to do now that you're not an artist? What's going to happen to you? You're going to wash up on the shore?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure will. I'm going to go to the bar. Yeah. Just like everyone else. What are you going to do? You just going to go play Sixth Street again? You're playing Sixth Street. Like,
yeah.
Never, dude.
Hey, you did photos with my girlfriend. She said she finished them up. Did they good?
They look incredible.
Yeah?
She has a hell of an eye.
She really does. Really. She's a really great photographer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And super sweet and super awesome to work with.
Very fun to work with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great, man.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. Jenna Barrett. Yeah. She's out there. Anthem and Art. Look it up. So you watched Tiger King. Did you live stream yourself watching Tiger King for over 2 hours? Is that what you did the other day? Because I didn't watch it, but I saw it, and I was like, is he streaming like his reaction to Tiger King for 2 hours?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty special, man. I think just for the record, I think everyone on that show is completely insane.
There's not a person on that show that's not insane.
No. The only person I think is probably not totally insane, just because I think he is kind of a lost soul, is the 18-year-old that got into the triple marriage. And that is not a dig at all, just for the record.
No.
On anybody. I'm just saying that when watching him as an adult now, I go, this kid, he's just going along with this.
Well, his mom was all into it too. Sorry if we're spoiling it. His mom was all part of the whole thing. And didn't he take his last name too? Tiger King had all these dudes' names. Like by the end of it, it was like,
oh, yeah. I'm only about three and a half episodes, which is. But I mean, I've heard and seen all the memes. And about a week ago, I didn't get any of the memes. I was like, these are random. And then I started watching the show, and oh my god,
it's pretty insane. The tunes are what kills me, man. Those songs are hilarious. The videos that go along with them are just amazing.
It's very Spinal Tap without knowing it's Spinal Tap.
It's weird how this coronavirus, like that is the one thing that I think everyone's bonding on. That and like being in PJs a lot. Are you wearing pants? Are you like getting dressed when you... Like, how are you handling your quarantine?
I'm wearing what I would normally wear.
Okay.
Like, T-shirt, jeans, and a little sweater.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Rogers. You got a Mr. Yeah, Rogers vibe.
It totally is.
Yeah.
Won't you be a neighbor? You know, quarantine neighbor.
Some days, like I moderated this panel the other night for Austin Music Foundation, kind of about pivoting your career now that you just are at home. And how to sort of like figure out how to handle the now times as a musician. And before I did it, I was like, man, I have not put on pants like in a week. And so I put on a tie. I put on a button-down shirt and a tie and pants. I was still wearing slippers, but I was almost there. I was almost like a normal person.
Is the bathrobe and the white Russians and a huge beard and a chain smoking of joints. Well, you might already be there. I don't know.
I'm not chain smoking joints, but I will say that I have a regimen to keep calm in times like this. It's a little less than like full joints. Like I'm not blowing my mind out every time. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm keeping my head straight. Let's just get it that way. Yeah. Right. Keeping my attitude adjusted.
Right. I'm just, you know, it's just a little bit of a low level thing. Just,
Micro dosing.
Yeah, I'm just micro dosing. A little bit of Ativan, a little bit of whiskey, whatever, you know.
Have you been doing some live streams? Outside of your gym, but like straight up, like, hey, here I am, I'm playing this song.
I did two of them. And because, you know, they're pretty strict about who you can and can't have in your studio, which is everybody except for you, I had to basically sort of put up raw tracks without vocals and just crank the shit out of the speakers and like play it in front of me, play it like that. And I felt like, oh, I'm a human jukebox now. This is great.
That's kind of cool. Have you done, yeah, you haven't done like the acoustic guy in the corner?
That one I haven't done yet. I think I just picked one up for Friday, and it's a UK based.
Oh, really?
Show. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I can't think of the name because I literally looked at it right before you called me. I just slipped my mind.
This will be coming out on Friday.
Great.
I guess people can go to your your website is MacIntyreRocks.com.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, going through your website today, doing a little bit of research, a little background work, Andy, I was very flattered that you put your former appearances on this show in your press thing. Not a lot of people do that. I always want people to do that, and they don't.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
Of course.
I appreciate it. Is there anything I'm missing? People can check out this video tomorrow, the video for Dirty Conversation, directed by the new Martin Scorsese. Andy McIntyre.
Well, actually, the video is coming out on 4/4.
Right. This is coming out on Friday. I speak in future terms. To me, right now, I'm speaking in the Friday time. Much like Marty, I know I have a time machine as well. Look at
You're
that.
Not too much, really. Why does Doc sound like Bernie Sanders now? You know,
maybe Bernie Sanders. Like did his thing to be like Doc. Yeah, like he modeled himself after Doc. Boy, that whole election thing is weird. Remember when that was a thing people were talking about? Now those guys like pop up in my feed and I'm like, what are you doing here, man? You're old news.
Yeah.
Come back in like September or something. I can't deal with you right now.
Hey, I've got a question for you. On top of your speaker back there, just right over your left shoulder.
Yes.
I mean, this is not a flipped image. Is that a middle finger?
Yes. Amy Edwards, it's a candle. I can't lift it up because it'll knock all those other things down. But
right. It
is a middle. It is a candle, a middle finger candle, which I've never lit because I like the middle finger of it. Yeah.
And I like how everyone's sort of stacked on top of your speakers. I kind of got this similar thing going. I don't know.
I see him.
See him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you got Captain Picard. I've got another one over here. I don't know if you can see it.
It's Kiss.
There's a lot of Kiss going on over there. I got Kiss. I got Kiss bobbleheads. I got Kiss Pez dispensers. I got Kiss Fisher Price people. Oh, you got a Bucky's guy.
Yeah, I got Bucky, and then it's Ape Man here, who I've affectionately named Kofifi.
Oh. Remember when that was a thing?
Remember when that was a
thing? Well, man, it's been great talking to you. Let's stay in touch throughout this time. Because I like you, man. And I'm glad we're friends.
Same.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing this video. Tomorrow, you guys, go to MacIntyreRocks.com. It'll be everywhere. Video directed by my friend, newly turned director, Andy McIntyre.
Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese. Thanks for doing the show, buddy. Stay
Thank
safe.
You too.
My friend, Andy McIntyre, his latest single, Dirty Conversation, available now wherever it is you stream and download your jam. So go there and hook up with Andy in the interwebs world where you hook up with people now. And check out the video that he directed for it. For the song Dirty Conversation comes out tomorrow. Go to MacIntyreRocks.com for all of your Andy McIntyre needs. Great talking to him. Great talking to him. Tune was recorded here in Austin at 601 Studios with the fabulous Eric Harrison. Great, great, great bass player, great musician, great producer, great engineer. And at the legendary Abbey Road Studios in London. And, of course, mixed by the great Tim Palmer. Go to MacIntyreRocks.com for more info on Andy McIntyre. And check out his EP, Mellow Man, that came out a couple years ago. Great EP. And check out that video tomorrow. All right? Thank you to Andy for doing the show with me. We had a little fun there talking on the on video chat. It is fun talking on video chat. I think I'm going to do some of these on Zoom and just stream them on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. I don't know, man. Let's see what we can do with that. Get some stuff going. I'm also going to be popping up on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. So go to our Facebook page, follow us. I'll be popping up on Mondays and on Thursdays at 12 noon Central Standard Time to talk to you about the show, answer any questions you might have about it, and just generally chat. All right. And don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you find your podcasts. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. Go there. Go to find us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you find podcasts. New show every Tuesday and every Friday. Get out there and check out Dirty Conversation, the tune by Andy McIntyre. You're hearing it now, baby. You're hearing it now. Let's do it. Let's get down.